most interactive sports talk show in Houston continues now.
What's happening, Paul?
What's up, Paul?
Most interactive show, and really enjoy that aspect of it. Y'all keep it up.
Get involved in the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776. Here's Paul Gallant.
We're going through a lot of tests, doing a lot of rehab, practicing, you know, not all the way 100%, but, you know, I'm doing in a couple of drills, in a couple of little scrimmages here and there. So it'll be a real game time decision. Like, go out there, warm up hard, see how I feel, and then I'll let them know if I can go or not.
That is University of Houston Cougars All-American guard Marcus Sasser on the groin strain that kept him out of the American Athletic Conference Championship against Memphis this past Sunday. The Cougars are playing the Northern Kentucky Norsemen tonight. And you would think that you don't need Marcus Sasser tonight, right? If the Cougs are the number one team in the country, shouldn't they be able to win a game against a 16 seed without their best player? I feel pretty good about it. And I think, too, there's something else that you got to factor in here. If you're the Cougars, and you should play things, I think, as carefully as you possibly can. This game today, if I'm not mistaken, is in Birmingham, Alabama, right? I think it's in Birmingham. I could be wrong on that. But something to keep in mind if you take a look at the Cougars bracket. They could potentially play Auburn in the second round in Birmingham, Alabama. You know, all those people in Kansas who are bitching and moaning about Kansas starting the tournament off in Vegas because they want them to play in Kansas City. First off, just goes to show you how the Midwest is the worst. But also, they might have a better edge than the Cougars do playing Auburn potentially in the second round in Birmingham. And maybe it's in your best interests to have Marcus Sasser sitting. We actually have a poll up at ESPN 97.5, and it asks, would you play Marcus Sasser tonight? The possible answers are absolutely, I'd think about it. No, I'm sitting him. I think I'm sitting him. And guess what? With 255 votes, 68.2% of people who have voted say they're sitting him. You can probably get away with it. Do you want to see Marcus Sasser potentially re-aggravate that thing out there, and then a game against Auburn where things are definitely going to be a lot more level? I don't know, especially when you're probably going to have a hostile Birmingham crowd there with all those Auburn people. Auburn people, when I was growing up watching the SEC, a Gators fan, I hated Auburn more than anyone. I don't know why I hated Auburn more than anyone that was in the SEC West. But I hated those stupid pom-pom on a sticks that they had, that they would be waving all game long, and I also feel like they beat Florida in a couple of significant games. By the way, while we're talking about groins, there's a couple of people on the Twitch. They're saying, oh, Deshaun Watson, groin strains. Well, I'm not thinking about that ex-Houston Texan when I'm thinking about groins. I'm thinking about former Houston Texans head coach Gary Kubiak. One of the more funny things I can remember during my early days at the Texans flagship and my first days here in Houston was that whenever Gary Kubiak talked about someone having a groin injury, he said it in a way that just makes me smile.
Delano Johnson's got a sore groin, be day to day.
A groin. He's got a groin. I love that Texas drawl. I try to do the Texas drawl myself from time to time. I've never strained a groin personally, but if I were to strain my groin, I would probably want to talk to a massage therapist, a licensed one, of course, to have them work on my groin. But what Kubiak used to do, and I couldn't find more clips of this, Kubiak would bring up, when asked about injuries, he would just say, like, oh, he's got a knee. Yeah, he's got a knee. Yeah, of course he has a knee. Well, what kind of injury does he have to a knee? Oh, well, he's got a knee. Someone's got an injured groin. Oh, yeah, he's got a groin. I don't know why it made me laugh as much as it did, but the way that Gary Kubiak talked about injuries was hilarious to me. Yeah, he's got a groin. Yeah, he's got a shoulder. Yeah, he's got a insert whatever. Anyway, we'll see what the Cougs do with Marcus Sasser. I think that they should play it safe for the 16 seed game. A couple of comments on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. You play Sasser if you need him today, says Coug Blaze. Hope it doesn't come down to that. But let's shift into talking about the other basketball team in town, because all of a sudden, like, they're getting some flowers. I'm not sure that they deserve it. I really don't think that they deserve it. They beat RJ's beloved Los Angeles Lakers last night. But it was a Los Angeles Lakers team where I'm not as on top of the NBA, especially as the Lakers, as I probably should be, but I have no idea who half of these people are. R. Hachimura. No idea who that is. J. Vanderbilt. No idea who that is. T. Brown Jr.? I don't know. D'Angelo Russell. I know him because he was the guy that snitched on Nick Young, allegedly. M. Beasley. Is Michael Beasley back in the NBA?
He is not.
Damn it. So they played a team that sucks. They won. Good for the Rockets. They've won two games in a row. They've won 4 of 7 after losing 11 in a row. But now all of a sudden we are hearing comments that should not be said publicly. Or maybe I would just advise against them if these Rockets players have their best interests in mind. Jabari Smith, who had that awesome game from the field where he was 9 of 11, had this to say about his recent good play.
You know, he just keep trusting you. You know, he doesn't lose hope in you, lose faith. He knows that I can do, trust my ability. So him just believing in me, him never telling me that I shot a bad shot, or just always putting that confidence in me, no matter if I'm shooting 20% or whatever. You know, he just always trusting me and just keep teaching me. Know I'm learning, and you know, he's been with some of the greats too. So just learning from him.
Who is he? That would be Steven Silas. So Jabari Smith Jr. has a couple of good games in a row. It's reason to get excited. There's definitely potential there. But remember, the lack of progress to this point should be what's most concerning about this Rockets team right now. And now all of a sudden you're seeing a concerted effort from some of these players who probably care about Steven Silas to have him back for next year. Remember, this is a bad idea. A couple of games at this time of year where some of these teams are in, it's almost summer vacation mode or it's almost playoffs mode. This time of year shouldn't teach you anything. How did Jalen Green look last year after the All-Star break? Awesome, right? And again, remember the time of year where these things improve. You should have that in the back of your head. But you're not just hearing about some theoretical progress after a win over the Celtics and a win over a completely undermanned, I don't know who any of those are, Lakers team. You had Kevin Porter Jr., who did play well last night, talking about how this team is learning.
We didn't have the year that we wanted when it comes to the record, but I feel like we've been learning, and every game, each game, even though, you know, we didn't win as much as we probably should, you can see that we have fight, and we definitely want to spoil some guys.
Cool. You're learning now. I don't think you're spoiling anything. No one cares. Much like I don't care about watching the NBA this time of year, especially now that March Madness is tipping off, I think, in like a minute. If you haven't gotten your bracket done, sorry. But I also think this is a time of year where NBA teams start checking out, resting players for the playoffs, or realizing it's almost over. We can almost go home. Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. One last thing I wanted to touch on with the Rockets last night. There's a couple of these Rockets stan accounts on Twitter I can't get over. Like, someone tweeted out, Alperen Şengün's going to have a huge night tonight because of all the people that doubted him when he was out. Who was doubting him? Who was talking about him? No one was. God, I hate Rockets fans online. I really just hate them. They make me not like the team. You are turning the 29th best team in the NBA into the most polished turd possible. This thing is shining somehow, and that shouldn't be possible with a turd. And that's what you guys do. You just consistently polish it. Have some balls. Criticize the team. It took this long to get something out of Jabari Smith Jr. I'm not out on Jabari Smith Jr. Anyone who was out after Jabari Smith Jr. after the beginning of the year, I think was crazy. Anyone who's out on Jalen Green right now is crazy. But you should be out on the people that are in charge of this thing. Raphael Stone, the GM, Steven Silas, the head coach. And a couple of games now should not be changing anyone's minds. But it seems like it is. Again, we went through this last year. How do we not learn from history? Am I the only person that remembers things that have happened here in town? It's funny, like, we just all forget so damn quickly. Good God, people. Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call, to text as well. Up next, is it possible that I just hate sports? You get to answer. It's the Paul Galancho.
ESPN 97.5.
Lined up the body, who said they saw me? Crown on by Molly, wrist on your gun. They go judge your life for a couple likes on a double tap. Them sorry, they all get bodied.
You're listening to the Paul Gallant Show with Paul Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Featuring Paul Gallant, alongside special guest Paul Gallant. Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
We got RJ from the morning show in for Sean Mapes. RJ, I've never heard this song. Who's this by?
This is Kendrick Lamar.
This is Kendrick Lamar. God, I'm so bad on Kendrick Lamar. I don't know anything that he has done. You could play a song by him, and I might recognize it. But the odds are I probably won't unless you tell me who it's by or unless I Shazam. My friends get so mad at me about the music I do not know. They really do. I don't know. What am I supposed to do? I'm just not really a music guy.
So what do you listen to?
I listen to podcasts. I listen to podcasts at 1.5 speed. And I mean, I listen to music on the weekends, but I'm not someone who likes to find new music. I'm not. I'm also someone that many would argue hates sports, unless it's the NFL or the Houston Texans. And that's why we're going to talk more about the Houston Texans on this, the day of the NCAA tournament. I'm just kidding. I did want to talk about, though, I thought some interesting comments made by Damian Lillard, because this brings us into, I think, a larger conversation just about where sports are in general. In an interview with J.J. Redick on The Old Man in the Three, Lillard, who is constantly asked why he sticks in Portland, why he doesn't try to go elsewhere to win a championship, why it is that he hasn't made some of the moves that a James Harden has or Kevin Durant has. And he says that he does it because he plays for the love of the game.
I feel like I play for the love of the game. Like, I want the competition. I want to know what it feels like to win. I want to see my teammates do well. I want to see my teammates get paid. You know, like, I enjoy the bonding part of it. Like, we spend more time with each other than anybody. But now it's like, that don't count. Regular season don't count. Get a ring. You know what I'm saying? Like, who? This guy's the MVP. This guy did this. He the first. It's like, bro, what is this stuff? Like, what is this? You know what I'm saying? Like,
Lillard says he plays the game because he loves it. What a novel concept. And as he continues to speak there, you hear some of the things that I know I myself am guilty of when it comes to talking about sports. Sports conversation has been turned into a conversation about if you're not winning championships, why bother? That's why you see tanking so prevalent in the NFL, the NBA, baseball. It's also, I think, why you see some teams operate with like a low budget operation, because they save money and they potentially can win the lottery someday. And it's a shame because it does feel like we don't care about the regular season as much. Baseball, I know for sure I don't. There's too many games and they all take too long. I care about games that the Astros play against good teams. Games that the Astros are playing against teams like the A's and others. Like, I'll watch it, but I don't think it tells us that much about them, especially given that they've been to six straight American League Championship Series, four of the last six World Series. They've won two World Series over that stretch. You know, expectations change when you see success. So Lillard is highlighting something that I recognize in myself. Like, that has really, I think, changed the way that I look at sports, and it's certainly changed the way that people look at basketball, where now what a basketball player says is probably more relevant than what happens on one of the 82 nights of an NBA season for any given basketball team. He continued, did Lillard, to say that I hate what the NBA has become.
I don't want to make it about my situation, but I was talking after a game like a week ago, and I was just like, they was asking me about Dame, but like, to win a ring. And I'm like, bro, I don't need to prove to y'all that I want to win a ring. Why the hell do I play? Like, I don't need to prove that to y'all, but we cannot keep acting like, while I understand we play to win championships, we all want to win a championship, we can't keep acting like nothing matters. Like, the rest of the stuff, the journey doesn't matter. We can't keep doing that. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like there are so many ways that the league is different. There's so many ways, and I think about it all the time, where I'm like, man, I don't know if I can just play a long, long time, because I don't enjoy what the NBA as a whole is becoming.
I think a lot of people feel the same way. It's a shame, but look at the Rockets right now. How can you enjoy that? Like, they're proactively trying to lose games so that they can maybe get Victor Wembanyama, and they have a 14% chance of getting him. That's what frustrates me the most about it. If this was 30%, 40%, I would feel totally differently. 14% is not a very high percentage chance, and some of you guys are acting like the Rockets are playing chess while everyone else is playing checkers because they're tanking. And by the way, everyone now, like, you got like a third of teams across basketball that are doing something similar. Maybe it's not as blatant as it was a couple of years ago, especially with the Philadelphia 76ers. It still isn't good. It's still bad. And it's all about you get the stars so that you can get rings. Can we get back to a point where we just enjoy a team that has a good regular season and we remember it? I don't know. I actually don't know the answer to that. I think that we've all, I think, psychologically changed a little bit. I think online discourse and wanting everything now has made us all a lot more impatient and unwilling to just go to a game and be like, yeah, this is fun. I mean, that's what it's all about. It's a distraction. And now we're like demanding of what our distraction actually is to us. Lillard, I like a lot. He continued in this interview. How many people do you think operate this way, where they're at peace that people will move on from him when he moves on from this?
I probably should do this, or I probably should do that. I'm like, when my career is over, y'all are not about to be talking about me. Y'all gonna be talking about Luka Doncic, Ja Morant, and Jason Tatum, or whoever when I'm done playing. You know, they'll talk about me when they say, who had the most 40-point games or 50-point games or Portland, whatever. But, like, why am I going to be sitting here overly concerned with everything that every person has to say about me when they don't know my life? Like, they don't think about me when they get off of that camera, you know? Like, and when I'm done playing, they won't think about me. Like, they don't think about you.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
No, well, they think about me in other ways. But yeah.
I'm just saying, they don't think about you. They don't think about Michael Jordan. So why are they going to be thinking about me? So why would I be concerned with it?
That is perspective to think, hey, when I'm gone, yeah, no one's going to think about me, and I'm cool with it. I don't feel that way. I know I was especially sad coming back to Houston after being gone for 2 years. And again, I'm nowhere close to an NBA star. I'm just a douche who talks about sports for a living, who may not even like them, per many of you. And I remember just being bummed. I was like, oh, yeah, wow, people forgot who I am. Like, when I first came here, people were like, who are you? And I was like, damn, I was here a decade. Does no one know who I am? It's like, what was the point? What was the point of these 8 years? I was just gone for two. I came back. I wanted to come back. And people were like, who's this guy? Who's this jackass? Who's this? He's so loud. He has ADD. His volume of his voice fluctuates. He can't pronounce words correctly all the time.
That's not very nice.
But that's how it be, RJ. It do how it do. Can I say that? No, I can't. I can't. I thought it might sound cool if I said it. The best part about Damian Lillard's interview with JJ Redick was this. This is an all-time mic drop, because also I think that these people are ruining sports too.
How do you maintain a level of sanity within this discourse?
Because I have a real life.
Oh my God, beautiful. Because the discourse is mostly online. And some people need to get over it, specifically Kevin Durant, who is again mad at the media, plus keep you abreast, I like to say that, of what's going on in the NCAA tournament. It's officially underway. Is Marcus Sasser going to play? Do you want Marcus Sasser to sit on the pine? Although I don't think benches are made of pine anymore. I think that's problematic too, because like the trees. But all of that on the table. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
The Jalen Carter situation is officially resolved. He pled no contest to misdemeanor charges of reckless driving and racing, per his attorney. He was sentenced to 12 months of probation, a $1,000 fine, 80 hours of community service. He's also going to attend a state-approved defensive driving course. And as a result of this being resolved, the state can no longer bring charges against Carter for the incident that took place January 15th, killing Georgia football player Devin Willick, recruiting staffer Chandler LaCroix, who were in another car that seemed to be street racing along with Carter's car. LaCroix's SUV was going 104 miles per hour when it left the road and hit two power poles and several trees. The blood alcohol concentration of recruiting staffer Chandler LaCroix was 0.197. That's 2.5 times the legal limit. Carter's going to be painted as a bad guy for this for a while, if not the rest of his life. That's how it goes. I'm not saying it's right or it's wrong. That's just how public opinion works. And earlier today, we also discussed how he had a really rough pro day showing, to the point where you wonder if his draft stock is still as high as it was before. I want to go back to some comments that D'Amico Ryans made at the NFL Combine. He seems like he is more than just a football coach, and it's words and it's the introductory press conference. How much stock do you put into any of this? Is this what D'Amico Ryans' priority should be? But Ryans essentially said, hey, like, I'm here to teach young men. Say Jalen Carter falls in the draft, passes pick 5, pick 10, and he's around for the Houston Texans at pick 12. The Texans should at the very least think about it and give D'Amico Ryans the opportunity to coach a young man up. That's all I'm saying. Don't say no to it 100%. I think in the past the Houston Texans would have done that. As far as the NCAA tournament, we have one game underway. It's West Virginia, 9 seed, and Maryland, an 8 seed. Not going to lie, when I went through my bracket, I basically just picked every single Big 12 team to advance. And I picked against every single ACC team. I think I have them all out in round one, except for Miami. That's the only one I didn't. And again, there's not a lot of science that goes into picking your bracket. There isn't. There shouldn't be. The interesting game that's going to tip off in 5 minutes, Furman and Virginia. Virginia plays a brand of basketball that makes me want to gouge my eyes out. It's just this slow BS pace that Georgetown invented and perfected. And I know Syracuse plays the zone. I get it. But Georgetown ruined basketball with the Princeton offense, turning it into the thing that they turned it into. It's just disgusting to watch. Horrible, horrible basketball. So I'm picking Furman to win that game because bleep Virginia. That's my rationale. So how about that? Kevin Durant is mad once again. He's mad at the National Basketball Association. No, he's mad at his teammates. No, he's mad at, once again, the usual suspect, Charles Barkley. Here is what Durant had to say on a recent podcast episode of something called, what, The Boardroom. Here is Kevin Durant.
I wouldn't call it beef. I just think he's just mad opinionated, and he feels as though like that's his job to be mad opinionated in a negative way against players. Like, I feel like he feels that the job requires him to, you know, nitpick and look at just the negative in the players. I'm not saying you should only talk about the positive either, but like when you clearly show bias that you don't, you're trying to take away from what these players have done, then it just looked corny on his part. Like, you're a legend in the game. Like, we respect what you've done. And, like, when you start trying to tear people apart for what they did in different ways and trying to basically bully people because you're in the media, like, it's just corny to me. But it is what it is. It's a part of the storyline.
And now you're on the team he went to the finals with.
And he's a fucking legend that I got nothing but respect for. And I look up, I'm going to play with pride knowing that he put blood, sweat, and tears into this organization. So that ain't got nothing to do with how he is as an analyst, though. Yeah. Like, I don't agree with how he approached the game as a Hall of Famer. And how his game as an analyst, I don't really f*** with your approach. So that's my opinion on you, just like your opinion on us.
Well, what's Barkley's approach supposed to be? Be boring? You have to take everything Charles says with a grain of salt because he's just saying what comes to his mind. And we love Charles Barkley because most of the things that come to his mind make us laugh. And sometimes there's a bit of truth to what he says. Is he a stand-up comedian? No, but I feel like there's a lot of stand-up comedians these days who are sort of looked at through a prism just like that. I'd say one of my favorites, Tim Dillon, who has a very fun podcast that I listen to on a regular basis. Make some good points while being funny. But not every single point is a great one. Durant's issue with Barkley stems from the idea that Barkley's calling him a bus rider. That is what it's been as far as titles. And maybe this goes back into what Damian Lillard was talking about with the audio we played earlier about ring chasing. But Durant has been ring chasing. And Durant, with this last situation he was in, forced his way out after creating a situation that should have been exceptionally beneficial to him, to James Harden, and to Kyrie Irving. Obviously, it didn't all work out, but he is going to get criticized for it. That's just the way that it works. I don't bleep with your approach. Whose approach do you bleep with then? You're acting like there's a lot of interesting conversations talking about the good of the NBA. Please enlighten me on what's good about the NBA right now. There's too many games. Players are barely playing in any of them. The last 5 minutes of a game takes 30 minutes. Flopping is rampant. Bad offense is rampant. Effort is sporadic. how much further do you want me to go? Like, tell me a positive about the NBA in 2023. Please, give me something. Hey, there's a lot of teams that look like they have a chance to win the title. Okay, that's something. There's a lot of players who have a chance to win the MVP. That's cool, but the discourse about the NBA is insufferable now because it's either a race war or it's just, like people are upset about the fact that they're not going to win the MVP. It goes to one person. That's how it's supposed to work. I tell me something good in the NBA that Charles Barkley is supposed to point out and say, yeah, and then also have an interesting conversation about it too. There's nothing. There really is nothing. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call, to text as well. The latest on Marcus Sasser's groin. Do we have anything new? Are the Cougs going to win this game? Can they get away with resting Marcus Sasser? And it's hilarious that John Morant just got an 8-game suspension while we talk about things that are wrong with the NBA. Paul Gallant Show, we wrap it up after this. First, I got to tell you about my friends at TGS Insurance, though, guys, because look, they're saving you money. They're saving other people money every single day. People know they're overpaying, so they text money to 232323 to get their instant quote with legit savings. Here's some listeners who save big on their home insurance over the past week. You got Horatio in Cyprus. $600. How about that? You got Randy in Pearland, $1,200. Woo! Having a tough time reading. And Fernanda, north side of town, $1,900? Whoa. Damn, Fernanda. It's a hot name. From inside the loop to the suburbs all the way to the coast, the average customer is saving over $800 on their home insurance by making the switch to TGS. So what are you waiting for? Switch now. Grab your phone. Text the word money. 232323 is where you text the word money to. Their system's going to ask for your address. You send it back. You get your full quote with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. It's that easy to win. And with over 2,000 five-star reviews, it's a company you can trust with simple, fast, and easy big savings coming your way. The TGS Insurance way. Let them work for you today. Look at me rhyming. You're going to make that weekly leaderboard like those three? Fernanda. Let's find out. Text money to 232323 to get your home insurance quote and save big today.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today.
We're going through a lot of tests, doing a lot of rehab, practicing, you know, not all the way 100%, but, you know, I'm doing in a couple drills, in a couple little scrimmages here and there. So, it'll be a real game time decision. Like, go out there, warm up hard, see how I feel, and then I'll let them know if I can go or not.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
That's Marcus Sasser, who is, I guess, a game-time decision for tonight's tournament opening game between the Cougs and Northern Kentucky. I looked this up online, how to check for a groin injury. No Deshaun Watson popped up. That's nice. Here's what you can do, and maybe, you know, if Mark Berman of Fox 26 is a real one, maybe he could figure this out. Any intrepid reporter out there? Here's how you test for a groin injury. The guy needs to lie on his back with his knees bent up and feet resting on the floor. Next, squeeze your knees together against another person's fist and hold for 5 seconds. A safe level of pain is 0 to 2 out of 10. An acceptable level is 3 to 5 out of 10. 6 to 10, high risk. So that's what you got to do for someone's growing, is you need to put somebody else's fist between your legs. It says that, RJ, who's laughing. That's what it says. That's what it says. Look, I just looked it up. That's how you check a growing. Yeah, one more time. For the test, lie on your back with your knees bent up, feet resting on the floor. Squeeze your knees together against another person's fist and hold for 5 seconds. So I'm squeezing right now. You know what my pain level is after a leg day yesterday from a growing? You know what it is? It's a 1. I'm almost feeling no pain. So my groin, good to go. Marcus Sasser's groin, someone's going to have to put a fist in between his legs. That's just how it works. That's what? What are you laughing at, RJ? That's what it says. That's what it says online. Damn.
Can I use my own fist?
Well, I'm just going with
you
the internet.
You just did.
Yeah, but the internet is telling me I probably did it wrong. Because I did feel some sensation in my, like I felt pressure on my fist. Maybe that pressure was distracting from what I felt in my groin. Because my nerves, I have multiple nerves being fired up at once.
WebMD is certainly undefeated.
It is. If you ever feel sick, don't go to a doctor. Go to WebMD. Bleep insurance, am I right? I'm just kidding. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. It's time for a little garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
We'll see what's up with Marcus Sasser's growling later on tonight. Good luck to all the Texas schools who are playing today. Texas A&M against Penn State. I had a person pull a switchblade out on me who was a Penn State fan. I've told the story a couple of times. Up from Philly. Just the epitome of Philly, Penn State cultist trash. Ugh, disgusting. I hope the Aggies kill them. Actually, well, not murder them, but like, you know, from a basketball perspective. UT, who is playing against, I keep on forgetting the team. Oh, Colgate. The Colgate Raiders canceled them. That's problematic. Can't have that nickname anymore. UH, of course, is playing Northern Kentucky. Good luck to Texas Corpus Christi, who is playing Alabama. And shout out to Texas Southern. The season ended for them last night. I love Jimmy Butler from the ball. We can claim him as our own, even though he does not claim Houston as his own. A report from the Miami Heat locker room. The sounds of Nickelback coming through the portable speaker inside the Miami Heat locker room was unmistakable. As the rest of his teammates and Heat staffer quietly showered up, got dressed in pat, and picked over a post-game pizza spread following a 126-114 overtime loss to the Magic, Jimmy Butler decided it was the right time to pump up the volume on his stereo and blast the familiar sounds of Chad Kroger's voice. Butler, who scored a game-high 38 points, sang every word to each song. I love it. Look at his photograph. Every time it makes me laugh. Hey, all you bitch teammates, you lost to the Magic. I scored 38 points. It wasn't my fault. This is where I carried your ass. Great song. Good job by Jimmy Butler there. What else do we have in garbage time? You know what? A lot of people think this is a garbage take by Nate. There was some discourse online. Jonathan Alexander of the Houston Chronicle, Landry Locker of the Flagship, among others. They were all talking about Whataburger Burgers. And there was a conversation about whether or not Five Guys counts as fast food. People were arguing that it doesn't. I can understand that argument. It's definitely more expensive than Whataburger. Here's my question. Why is there such a defense of Whataburger's burger or any fast food burger? This is something I cannot ever get behind. This is a state that prides itself on meat. And yet, if you are to go get a Whataburger single burger, you're going to have 5 times as much bread and other things as meat. Sure, you could get a double burger. Sure, you could get a triple burger. Wouldn't you just rather, for the same exact price, go to H-E-B, get you some buns, get you some burgers, put some jalapenos and onions in the actual burger and cook it yourself. You could get brisket beef, an onion, pepper, and some nice brioche buns at H-E-B and make yourself four hamburgers for like $12. Or you can go to a fast food place and get one of their terrible, smushed, likely cold, covered in as many things as possible burgers that's going to make your intestines completely stop up and just congeal them with disgusting slop. You animals would prefer that to just cooking it yourself. Yeah, I called you animals. I don't get it. Like, Whataburger has a lot of great options. I love the honey barbecue chicken sandwich with Texas toast. If I ever go, I get that. Am I going to have my order done correctly? I don't know. That's part of the magic of Whataburger. But this weird loyalty that anyone has to specific brands of fast food burgers, I don't get it. They're all the same. Smushed, meatless, and underwhelming. And yet you guys defend these burgers. I don't get it. Cancel me all you want. I'm not a fatty boom batty, so perhaps that's why I like to eat them the way that I like to eat them, but I just don't get why there's such a defense of Whataburger burgers. In-N-Out burgers aren't good either. I'm not making an argument for them. All fast food burgers stink. Get yourself your own. RJ's mad at me. Guess what? We gotta go. Doesn't matter. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Big thanks to RJ behind the glass stepping in for Sean Mapes. Double duty today with the bench and me, our texters, our twitchers, our callers, and our tweeters. Killer Bees are up next. They're out at Drift, I believe, for the NCAA tournament. Hang out with them. Have yourself a day. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Peace.
ESPN 97.5.